Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have a great show for you. We have two interviews. One with Kevin Cease, who is offering a $50,000 reward to anybody who can who can build up enough evidence on the Macy Company to
on their CEO Blankenship.
Yeah.
And hold him criminally responsible for what happened to those miners.
The 29 miners, yeah.
And so he's looking for evidence to convict those guys personally. So if you have any evidence or know anyone
that
has that evidence, you need to get in touch with him and he'll tell you
how. He'll tell you how and what his whole thing is.
Plus, you'll make $50,000. That's not a bad deal.
And let's see, the other thing was, we got another interview with a funny lady named Jill Spiegel.
She was wonderful. I loved her.
She wrote a book on how to talk with anybody about anything. And it was very, very good, very fun.
She's a very upbeat lady. And
I think I'll get a kick out of it.
She's the kind, you know that expression, you know, make lemons out of lemonade? Well, I think she can do that with any situation.
Yeah. So, very, very interesting girl. So we'll be talking to her as well. But in the meantime,
we have a little bit of
what, Lila, did you read the one on the preppies?
Yep.
Preppers?
Yep, we read that.
Yeah, I should probably read it again. I got a...
be worth it to go to that site that we like to read those short things up.
Do you think we should go?
I think we should do that.
I think there might be something more.
Yeah, something a little more current.
Yeah,
I want to bring you that.
This was yesterday, but yep. Nevertheless.
It might be some things that are a little more current and a little shorter.
Okay.
Easier to manage.
We will go to those interviews in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can.
Yeah, I was going to bring you some news that is a little more current, a little less wordy, easier to do in the few minutes that we have to bring you news before the interview.
Yeah, I thought you should. Yeah, you're probably going to enjoy the interviews tonight. Just wait one second here.
Let's see. The Greeks are actually...
I was just looking here at this one, though. And I also want to think about this.
Yeah, read that one.
Fed documents reveal secret lobbying effort against audit provisions. Federal Reserve is secretly engaged in an intense lobbying effort in an attempt to stave off moves to make the Government Accountability Office audit it. Internal documents reveal the Huffington Post has obtained the documents, which were distributed to Senate offices by a Fed official, whose identity the online news site agreed not to reveal. The effort to beat back the audit relies on playing two members of the same caucus, Senator Bernie Sanders and Jeff Merkley of Oregon, off each other. So it's kind of interesting.
Huh.
So let's see what happens here. It might be interesting.
Yeah.
It's from Prison Planet.
Takes a few minutes, so just be patient, folks. Here it is.
Today we'll see a possible first round of votes on an amendment to Senator Christopher Dodd's financial overhaul bill. One such amendment is S-604, the Federal Reserve Sunshine Act, the Senate version of Congressman Ron Paul's Federal Transparency Act, sponsored by Senator Sanders. The amendment calls for a full audit of the Fed. The unnamed federal official in the documents essentially acknowledges support of a much more restrictive audit proposal by Senator Merkley. I am sending some information on the effects of the audit of the Federal Reserve, as well as two additional documents, one summarizing the GAO and related provisions of the Dodd bill as passed by the committee. As I mentioned, we believe that the bipartisan Corker-Merkley provision in the Dodd bill is quite strong and addresses issues of transparency and disclosure without impinging on the independence of the monetary policy. Ron Paul's Campaign for Liberty website was consistently addressed the problem with this watering-down provision, noting that it guarantees continued secrecy for the Fed. Paul and Sanders have persistently disproved the Fed's claim that their provision for an audit would interfere with monetary policy deliberations and the Fed's overall independence. Merkley's provision is essentially a Senate version of Congressman Mel Watts' amendment to the House financial reform and would have severely limited the audit and gutted Ron Paul's H.R. 1207 bill. The Watt amendment was also supported by the Fed before it was rejected in favor of Ron Paul's amendment by the House Financial Service Committee last November. Even Merkley himself notes that the provision weakens the prospect of an audit of the Fed. I appreciate Representative Grayson's concerns over accountability of the Federal Reserve. I have been a strong proponent of Fed reform and voted against the confirmation of Ben Bernanke because the Fed has been so lax in using its regulatory powers, Merkley said. Showing that the Senate bill did not meaningfully expand transparency. Moreover, I felt strongly that we need to act now to empower the GAO to audit the extraordinary emergency programs created by the Fed, and I succeeded in getting that power to the President, to the Senate, blah, 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 blah. It's all the same bullshit, but nevertheless, yeah. the guy...
has a watered-down bill. A
watered-down bill, and the Fed is pushing for it, that they don't, a bill not to audit the Fed. So, you know, screw that. Go, Ron Paul. Go, Ron Paul. And Greeks began 2-day strike. The banking system is saved from meltdown. Greek public sector workers today began a 48-hour national strike that is the first test of the government ability to enact new austerity measures agreed with the EU and IMF in return for billions of euros in aid. Ministries, tax offices, schools, hospitals, public services are shutting down ahead of midday rally of civil servants outside Parliament organized by the country's main public sector union. We want an end to the free fall of our living standards, said Spiros Papaspiros, the head of the union, which represents about 500,000 workers. I think this will be one of the biggest protests we've ever seen in the last decade. So they're striking because they plan to cut back all those jobs.
How about this? U.S. school for disabled forces students to wear packs that deliver massive electrical shocks. Mentally Disabled Rights International has filed a report in an urgent appeal with the United Nations Special Rapporteur on torture, alleging that Judge Rottenberg Center for the Disabled, located in Massachusetts, violates the UN Convention Against Torture. The rights group submitted their report this week titled Torture Not Treatment, Electric Shock and Long-Term Restraint in the United States on Children and Adults with Disabilities at the Judge Rottenberg Center, after an in-depth investigation revealed use of restraint boards, isolation, food deprivation, and electric shots in an effort to control the behaviors of its disabled and emotionally troubled students. God almighty.
That's right here in Massachusetts, right up in the...
I don't know where in this.
State right next to us. The findings in the MDRI report include the center's practice of subjecting children to electric shocks on the legs, arms, soles of the feet, and torso, in many cases for years, as well as some for more than a decade. Electronic shocks are administered by remote control packs attached to a child's back called the graduated electronic decelerators. The disabilities group notes that stun guns typically deliver 3 to 4 milliamps per shock. GEI packs, meanwhile, students with 45 milliamps, more than 10 times the amperage of a typical stun gun. Holy Christ. A former employee of the center told an investigator, when you start working there, they show you this video which says the shock is like a bee sting and that it does not really hurt the kids. One kid, you could smell the flesh burning. He had so many shocks. These kids are under constant fear 24/7. They sleep with them on, eat with them on, and it makes me sick and I could not sleep. I prayed to God someone would help these kids. Noting that it is believes United States law fails to provide needed protection for children and adults with disabilities. MDRI calls for the immediate end to the use of electric shock and long-term restraints as a form of behavior modification for treatment, and a ban on the infliction of severe pain for so-called therapeutic purposes. Torture as treatment should be banned and prosecuted under criminal law, the report states. The U.S. Department of Justice opened a routine investigation of the center in February of this year in response to a September 2009 letter signed by 31 disability organizations claiming that the center violated the Americans with Disabilities. Judge Rotenberg, CEO and founder of D. Matthew Israel,
Dr. Matthew L. Israel. He's the founder.
Yeah. Began his first program in California back in 77. In 1981, a 14-year-old boy died face down, tied to his bed while living in the California Center. Dr. Israel was not held responsible for the death. After an investigation by the state of California, Israel relocated to Rhode Island and then to Massachusetts, where his facility still operates today. Mother Jones Magazine published an extensive investigative report on the Rotenberg Center in 2007, titled School of Shock. And how many times do you have to zap a child before it's torture? Children at the Judge Rotenberg Center are often shackled, restrained, and secluded for months at a time. And the report says, social isolation, food deprivation, as forms of punishment are common. Mock and threaten stabbings to forcibly elicit unacceptable behavior resulting in electric shock punishment were reported to MDRI, as well as state regulatory bodies. A former student of the center reportedly tells MDR, the worst things ever was the BRLs. They try and make you do a bad behavior, and then they punish you. The first time I had a BRL, two guys came in the room and grabbed me. I had no idea what was going on. They held a knife to my throat and started to scream, and I got shocked. I had BRLs three times a week for stuff I didn't even do. I went on for about 6 months or more. I was in a constant state of paranoia and fear. I never knew if a door would open, if I would get one. It was more stress than I could ever imagine, horror. And behavior that the center deems aggressive, as well as most of those considered minor, are non-compliant, such as raising one's hand without permission, are all considered punishable by electric shock. You know, one girl who was blind, deaf, and nonverbal was moaning and rocking. A former teacher says in the report, her moaning was like a cry. The staff shocked her for moaning. Turned out she had broken a tooth. Another child had an accident in the bathroom and was shocked. The rights group's investigation found that Rotenberg Center is the only known facility in the United States, or perhaps the world, and employs the use of electricity, long-term restraints, and other punishments to deliberately inflict pain upon its children, and they refer to it as treatment. The electric shocks alone are cited as having possible long-term effects, such as muscle stiffness, impotence, damage to teeth, scarring of skin, hair loss, post-traumatic stress, and severe depression, chronic anxiety, memory loss, and sleep disturbance. The MDRI report states that more than any other source for its information, they relied upon information readily obtained from the Judge Rotenberg Center's own website. In response to MDR's report, Judge Rotenberg Center said, there is no credible evidence that for these most severe forms of behavior disorders, there is any pharmaceutical or psychological treatment that can effectively treat these students or even keep them safe. JRC is the only program willing to address the reality of these children's disorders and endure the political firestorm in order to save these children and give them an education in the future. The complete response from the center can be read at ARC's website. Absolutely unbelievable.
They allow that.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unfreaking believable. But anyway. Hard to believe. This Ross story's got an ad for Ned Lamont.
Yeah.
A lot of Connecticut people read Raw Story. Well, anyway, we have got our own Raw Stories tonight. We got a couple of answers that we want to bring to you. And hope you enjoyed that. CO2 has almost nothing to do with global warming, discovers top U.S. meteorologist.
No kidding.
Yeah. The other night, I had a nightmare in which a general election was approaching and all three main competing parties had the same suicidal policies. They all believed in this thing called the Big Bad Fairy and were convinced that the only way to drive off the Big Bad Fairy and her evil hordes was to spend huge sums of taxpayer money.
£18 billion a year.
A year. I believe the figure quoted in the nightmare. By ruining the country with ugly spinning fairy towers for the bad fairy hordes to nest in. Then I woke up and found, seriously though, what do we do? How we can possibly stop the environmental energy policy of our next government being based on what U.S. meteorologist Dr. Roy Spencer calls the worst case of mass hysteria the world has ever known. I want to get to our interview here, but... this is pretty long.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you that if you'd like, if you're interested, go to telegraph.uk, all right, and check it out. It's called Whoops. CO2 has almost nothing to do with global warming. Discovers top U.S. meteorologist, and it's not that long. Yeah. Okay. I'll suggest you go to that. Anyway, so we're gonna go back to our program here, and we are going to...
We're
going to
bring you that short little
bring you
interview.
Our interview. We have a short interview with Kevin Cease, the attorney, for offering a $50,000 reward, and another interview with Jill Spiegel. And here we go.
Hi, Kevin. Can you hear us all right?
No, I think you better turn him up a little bit there.
Can you hear us all right, Kevin? Kevin?
No.
Hello, Kevin. Can you hear us okay?
I hear you.
Okay.
Now we can hear you.
Okay, there you go.
You're a little worried there, but I'm glad you could hear us. Welcome to our show.
Happy to be on.
We're glad to have you, and I understand you have a very interesting proposal.
Well, we are pursuing, you know, there was this coal miner accident where 29 coal miners were killed, and Massey Energy, which is headed by Don Blankenship, was the owner of the mine, and they have been a company that's been dealing with lots of fines for their violation of safety rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think that the fines are not enough, and it's time to hold these people accountable before they kill again. And they will kill again if they're not stopped, because they don't take mine safety seriously. And so we put up a $50,000 reward for information leading to the conviction of executives at Massey Energy. We hope that that will encourage people to come forward and tell the truth about the activities of that company.
Now, what's the name of the group? Or who's behind?
Group that's behind this effort is called StopTheChamber.com. It's a Stop the Chamber of Commerce, StopTheChamber.com. Massey Energy is a member of the chamber, and Don Blankenship is on their board of directors. And so StopTheChamber.com. I'm the director of a group called ProsperityAgenda.us. ProsperityAgenda.us is a group that focuses on a whole sort range of economic issues, and obviously energy is a major economic issue, and workers' rights are as well, and so that's why I'm the spokesperson for StopTheChamber.com.
So you're looking for a substantiation of these violations by actual people?
Yeah, looking for information that would lead to the conviction of Don Blankenship and other people, other executives at Massey Energy. We understand that there are indications that there's a criminal investigation beginning at the Department of Justice, and if we get information, that we will share it with the Department of Justice so they can pursue it and hold people accountable personally. And the reason it's important to hold people accountable is that Massey Energy has paid the largest fine ever for violation of mine safety laws. This was a criminal fine and a civil fine combined that dealt with a situation where two miners were killed. They paid over $4 million in fines, and that sounds like a lot of money, but Don Blankenship himself gets paid $14 million a year, so obviously that's just to them a cost of doing business. And so fines are not enough. It's important to begin to hold people personally responsible for their actions. Otherwise, we are not going to stop this kind of activity from going forward. Massey Energy, the mine where this these deaths occurred, had been cited 495 times for violations of safety laws and fined nearly $1 million, $911,000 just this year.
Wow.
495 violations, $900,000 in fines just this year at the Upper Big Ranch mine. That mine has been cited 1,300 times since 2005.
And that's absurd.
86 of those violations actually dealt with the kinds of mistakes that led to these deaths. The ventilation of the mine was inadequate, and that's what caused the explosion, it looks like. And so there's an investigation going on about what caused that explosion, and now there's also the beginnings of an investigation, criminal investigation of potential bribes paid by Massey Energy, and we want to try to encourage that, encouraging citizens who have information to come forward, and with a $50,000 reward that some funders have put up, and we'll provide the information to the Department of Justice so that the prosecution can go forward.
It seems in the past that the way they've caught people is through their communications, that they've exposed themselves through emails and that kind of thing.
But not just that, isn't there? I mean, with all of these fines, I mean, isn't that enough evidence to show this guy is a criminal?
Well, it's even more than fine. You mentioned communications, for example. There is communications between Blankenship and mine workers that basically said that if a manager tells you to take certain precautions, ignore him and keep mining. Coal is what pays for this, and so he says ignore it and keep mining. And so he's pretty blatant about it. He really, if you go to YouTube and put in Don Blankenship, you'll see some really choice videos of this guy. He is a bit of a nut, you know. But he's a nut who's a multimillionaire nut, Andy.
Yeah, but he's killed 29 people with
in that one accident. And there's been other deaths at other mines. And beyond that, you know, he's also someone who uses his money to warp the justice system. They essentially paid to put a Supreme Court judge on the West Virginia Supreme Court by putting lots of money into his campaign, and it was such an obvious purchase of the seat that the Supreme Court of the United States looked at a case that the court was considering and said it was a mistake for that judge not to recuse himself.
Wow.
Because he essentially had been put in that office by the people he was judging in the case. And
yeah, but
this is
here's the kettle calling the kettle black, you know.
That's right. This is a very corrupt situation.
No, but I mean,
and it's a corruption that puts people's lives at risk. And there's lots of problems with coal. You know, coal is very dominant in our energy supply, but it's something we have to figure out a way to put.
What I was going to say is you got the Supreme Court of the United States, who's got the criminal judge Sirica on there. Was it Sirica? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is like, what was his big deal with Cheney? All right, he wouldn't recuse himself when he was presiding over the
Judge Scalia. Actually, you're talking about Judge Scalia.
Yeah,
during the Bush versus Gore decision, at that time his wife, Scalia's wife, was actually collecting resumes as part of the effort to put together a Bush team. She was working on the transition team before the court even ruled to stop the count in Florida. So Scalia's wife was working for the transition of Bush to become president while that court battle was going on. So you're right. So for this court to, I think it was a 5-4 decision. I'm sure Scalia was on the wrong side of it. But the court did rule that this judge in West Virginia had to recuse himself from cases involving Massey Energy. So that was thankful. Can you imagine the opposite rule? In fact, that you can a corporation can purchase your seat, put you into office, and you still get to judge situations involving that corporation? That almost happened, but thankfully by a 5-4 vote, the court ruled that judge had to recuse himself.
The whole justice system is all screwed up in this country anyway. I mean, what we got on the Supreme Court right now? Okay, you got these guys who just voted 5-4 or 6-3
in favor of giving corporations the right human status in elections. I mean, what kind of criminal lawyer mental midgets do we have here in our Supreme Court, much less our regional courts and Macy or Whip Blankenship is a pissant next to the criminals that are on the benches right now. All right. I mean, why aren't we going after those? Why don't we get $500 million against to find some kind of criminal evidence on Scalia or on these other clowns?
Yeah, we have a lot of problems with the justice system.
Yeah, I mean, it's as corrupt as can be. And to go after a guy like, I mean, I can understand going after a guy like Macy. Well, all Macy's got to do is buy another judge. You know,
Blankenship.
They've just got to buy another judge, and he's got nothing to worry about. All right. I mean, this is why, to me, I mean, I respect what you're doing and everything, and believe me, I mean, anything is good just to get a guy like this. But bring it to public awareness. But by God, I mean, you know, when you look at the corruption right at the Supreme Court levels,
it's scary,
federal Supreme Court levels. I mean, it's almost ridiculous to be hopeful. Not to be cynical here. You know.
Well, I mean, it's not cynicism. I mean, in some ways, it's realism to understand the corruption of our government, corporate power. It's not just the Supreme Court. You know, one thing that's never controversial when a Supreme Court justice is nominated is what kind of work he did for the corporate powers. What kind of corporate lawyer he was, or she was, and that's never even questioned. And I think the real problem we face in our country in each branch of government is corporate power and controlling corporate power. And that recent Citizens United decision you talked about that increased the power of corporations to play roles in elections with spending unlimited amounts of money in their own campaigns against or for a candidate just enhances that problem of corporate power. And you saw it recently in the Congress considering the health care law. They passed a law that gave a lot more power to the corporate interests, the insurance industry. I mean, that law is going to result in hundreds of billions of dollars a year in new revenue for the insurance industry. We see it now in the Wall Street financial reform bill. Wall Street's not even opposing it because it's a bill that just continues business as usual. It does not require an audit of the Federal Reserve. We're not going to know how many trillions of dollars the Federal Reserve.
It's totally useless. I mean, it's just a handy wipe. You know what I mean?
And then so our job, I think, as advocates, is to get across to the public that just because they say it's reform doesn't mean it's reform.
Right.
Reform is not supposed to be a cover for the status quo. And that's what these laws that we're talking about, the financial reform law, the health care law, we see in a whole lot of other areas as well, it's reinforcing the status quo. And the status quo is winning under the hope and change president. The status quo is certainly winning on every issue. And the people need to get organized and demand some accountability from government and demand that the people's voices be heard before the corporate profits are insured.
So let's
have some people step up to the plate for your issue.
How do we get in touch with you?
StopTheChamber.com is the effort that we're doing on this specific project to try to bring some justice to Massey Energy and Don Blankenship. So that's StopTheChamber.com. The group I'm executive director of is Prosperity Agenda. That's ProsperityAgenda.us, and we deal with a whole range of issues: healthcare, workers' rights, energy, militarism. So ProsperityAgenda.us to get more involved in the broader range of issues.
Well, thanks so much, Kevin, and we appreciate it. I know we had a short time here, but I've got another guest.
That's quite right. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
I want to thank you, and we'll have you
thank
back.
You. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kevin. And that's, folks, go to StopTheChamber.com or ProsperityAgenda.us.
Okay, and Lila, you can just introduce our next guest, and I will give her a call.
Okay, we're going to interview How to Talk to Anyone About Anything, The Secrets to Connecting by Jill Spiegel. And let me tell you a little bit about her. I have a little bit here on her. She is the youngest of two children. She was raised in Highland Park, Illinois, and she's the great-great-granddaughter of 925.
Yeah, but...
Oh, let me just hand this to Leo. He's looking for a phone number. And Sorry, folks, I just had to give him the phone number. And she's the great-great-granddaughter of the Spiegel Catalog founder, Joseph Spiegel. She's married to Joe Brozek, who's her husband and business partner. And let's see, she's a graduate of the University of Michigan. She was a sales representative for Cutco Cutlery. She was a district manager for that company. And she also founded a motivational company, Goal Getters, in Minneapolis, 1990. And she's an award-winning speaker for Toastmasters International. And let's see what else she's done. She enjoys walking and talking with her husband. And she likes studying people. She was especially interested in the Beatles, John Lennon, Paul Newman, Audrey Hepburn. And she's the author of 5 books, 4 motivational CDs. And she's featured on the Oprah Winfrey twice. And she's presented over 500 speeches and seminars. Excuse me. She's hosted her own popular radio show. And she teaches classes for community education. She's been featured in People magazine. And Lifetime Television called her the perkiest woman in America. And Matt Lauer actually said that Jill could sell ice to Eskimos. So she sounds like she's a very convincing person.
And she's on the phone. Hello, Jill. Can you hear us all right?
Hello. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Oh, yes. And I think we're Jill. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to be on with you two.
We're very glad to have you. And it was interesting to find out that you're the great-great-granddaughter of the Spiegel Catalog founder. That put you in connection with many, many Americans who loved that catalog.
Oh, yes. It is so exciting. Even when I have book signings, people will bring their Spiegel Catalog for me to sign.
How about that?
Well, because it showed you my great-great-grandfather Joseph founded that catalog on reaching out and connecting with people. And so I'm continuing that mission with my new hit book, Jill Spiegel's How to Talk to Anyone About Anything, The Secrets to Connecting. And I'm going to start off with one of the greatest ways to connect. Tell me your names, you two. I don't even know your names.
Well, interesting enough, my name is Lila.
Oh, I love that name, Lila.
Oh,
beautiful.
Thank you. And Lila is we're co-hosts of the Ari Steele Show.
Oh, that's so great. You know what? You remind me, my husband and I, we're an alliteration, too. His name is Joe, Jill and Joe. So Lila and Leo, I'm going to remember that well.
All right. Well, she's just getting over this cold, and I don't know why she suddenly... You must have communicated with her here because she's incommunicatable right now.
I can create a lot of hot energy there, Leo.
I don't know. I guess so. She's
giving you healing energy right now, Lila.
I have bronchitis.
I had that for a long time. Bless your heart.
Well, what always amazed me, since you're kind of a communication expert. Why is it sometimes when you say certain things, it catches people? Sometimes you can say things, or people will say things, and it can catch people. People catch their breath, or it's kind of like they breathe, they skip a beat. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Words can have a remarkable effect on people, and that you don't even realize. And when I was looking at your book, and I saw the many different aspects of of communicating. But as a writer, as a communicator, a broadcaster, I have a tendency to, of course, when you're writing, you have a tendency to be more calculating as to what you say, or you write. But when you're talking, you have a tendency to become more emotional, or I do have more emotional ups and downs. And I can tell by your own, by your enthusiastic voice, all right, that are you this way? Like, you turned on all the time?
I really am so excited by life, Leo and Lila, and you know, whenever I talk about my book, I get extra excited because I'm on a mission to help everyone see that they can connect with anyone. We all have a personality for a reason. It's a gift, whether we're shy or outgoing. You don't have to change yourself, and people are put in your path that you're meant to meet. So I am very excited about this, and it's doing so well that I just feel I'm on warp speed when I talk about it. At the same time, Leo, I do need balance, like all of us, and so people energize me so much, and spreading my message feels so inspiring every time I do it, that at the end of the day, I love to be on the couch with my husband and my dog, or I love to take walks and look at the trees and the clouds and process and think. So I am always really excited by life, but like everyone else, I need balance, and there's certain times you're so excited to go to a party and connect with everyone, and there's other times, Leo, you just want to take a hot bath and be on your own.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, but I always think of guys like Tony Robbins, for instance. He's always going, hey, life's great, yeah, life's so great, yeah, you got to get out there, you know, yeah. And it's like every time you see him on his commercials, he's all jazzed up on,
I can totally understand what you're saying, and you know what?
Come on, Tony, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, because I bought your tapes, you know. And I they didn't hype me up as much as I thought they would.
You know what, Leo? The great news is we always find who we need to inspire us, and maybe I'll be a better fit for you than Tony.
You know what I wanted to tell you? I checked out your website. I think everybody should do that. Jill Spiegel.
Oh, yeah, JillSpiegel.com.
It's really funny. You had a book or something that I should have mentioned. Lila has you right up there, but wasn't it Flirtation or something like that?
Okay, my first book, Leo, was called Flirting for Success.
Flirting for Success. And you got this little, on your website, you got this cute little...
Flirtmobile.
A bug. What was it?
It's my Flirtmobile.
Flirtmobile, yeah.
I can beat a little over. With the flirting concept...
That was really cute. That was brilliant marketing. I thought that was so great. You know,
we get so many people wave to us and leave us sweet notes on our cards. You can see it all on the website. It just shows you people are hungry to have fun and connect, and they, you know, we need to spread that uplifting spirit. So thank you for saying that. But yeah, this book, How to Talk to Anyone About Anything: The Secrets to Connecting. It's my fifth book, and it's based on a hit seminar that I've been giving for years. It's sold out for adults, and then they were bringing their whole families because everyone craves to connect, and it brings you so much happiness. So the book is a hit. It's on the top communication list on Amazon.com. It's sold out in stores. You can go to stores and request it to order it. You can read it in one night. I purposely wrote it in one night because it's life-changing, and a lot of people aren't readers, but everyone wants to connect, and so I just get so excited to share it because so many of the things that I'm saying are freeing for people. Can I give you two examples where I can tell the myths about connecting?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, right. So these are one of my great tips from Jill Spiegel, How to Talk to Anyone About Anything, The Secrets to Connecting. Now, shy people are just all over this because they've been told their whole life that shyness is something you have to overcome, and you have to learn how to be outgoing, and you have to bust the shyness. And when you tell someone that the way that they're naturally built is not enough and they have to change, of course that makes your spirit go, so of course it's overwhelming for shy people, and that makes you feel worse. But what I've learned in all my travels and studies is that shyness is a gift. I mean, look how excited I am and how fast I talk, that when I'm around someone who's shy, Lila and Leo, they calm me down, they put me at ease. I love being around shy people because their energy is very healing for me, and I'll give them a little perk. So we're meant to co-create with each other. So in the book, I show shy people how to embrace the beauty of shyness so that they radiate the energy of connection. So for instance, one of the things I have this way to help all of us create the energy of connection, but I'm just going to give you one tip about it, and that is you have to remind yourself every day before you meet anyone what your natural gifts are, so they'll be magnified. So for me, I think I'm filled with joy, and I'm so excited to spread that joy. Then my natural gift of joy is magnified. For a shy person, they say to themselves, I'm gentle, and I'm healing, and I love to put people at ease. And they'll radiate that natural gentleness of shyness, which Princess Diana had, and Jackie Kennedy had, and Johnny Depp had. And so shy people hug me after they read my book and say, I'm free, I can talk to anyone, because you've shown me shyness isn't bad, it's a style. Okay, so are you ready for another myth I dispelled? Do you love that one already?
Yeah, I do like that one a lot. Go to the next one.
Okay, good. The next myth that I dispel, oh my gosh, I got so excited. It's escaping me for a minute. Wait, let me think about it. Okay, here's another one.
Honest to God, I have to break it up for just to interject 1 minute because I think you're so funny. I'm just trying to keep up with your enthusiasm here, and I've find you very fascinating, so go ahead.
Good. Okay, now here's another big myth I dispel. I'm realizing as I'm talking, there's so many, this is why this is so exciting. People are always told when you first meet someone, you know, you have to be clever or witty. That is such a myth, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. Are you two ready?
Yeah.
It's Lila and Leo. You were standing in an elevator, okay, and I walked in, and I said, good morning, and it was a beautiful day, and I came from my heart, and all I said was good morning. Would you whisper to each other, oh, that wasn't clever or witty. Let's not talk to her. Of course not. You would mirror my kindness, so there is no such...
Well, I wouldn't. Why would I want to do that? What if it was a grudge?
You'd be good morning.
Why? What if I had a lousy morning? I don't want to do that.
Well, if you had a lousy morning, would you ignore me, Leo, or would you make...
I probably might.
Or swear at me?
Depending on it. I don't know. You know, I used to have a neighbor who was...
well, that's okay. If
no, I had a neighbor like that. You know, this guy is like a kind of a nutty guy. And he, you know, I liked the guy. He was all right, but you couldn't expect him to say anything to you, especially in the morning.
That's okay, you know what, and I even talk about that in the book. That's what it means. It just means that they are not ready to receive your warmth in the moment. So listen, if I walked in the elevator and I said, good morning, 99% of the people I've asked this question to have said, of course I'd say good morning back. You know, when a friendly, warm person's in your room, the energy is contagious. But for the 1% of the people, like you might be in the mood, Leo, that don't say anything back, I still know in my heart that being kind will come back to me. And so instead of thinking that guy's grumpy or I'm a loser because he didn't say hi, what I do is I pat myself in the back of my mind that I reached out with friendliness, then I wish you well. I imagine you transcending whatever pain and sadness brought you to this moment where you feel sad or you're having a rough day.
What if the guy just really doesn't like you?
If he doesn't like me, then I'll tell you a story about what that happened. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
I went on an airplane once, and I started talking to a guy next to me, and I could tell right away he did not want to talk to me.
Right.
And so I said, hey, listen, I can tell you want to read your magazine. Here's my card. You never know. You may need a motivational speaker. He rolled his eyes at me and went, yeah, right. So as I was walking off the flight, and this is what we all need to do when I talk about this and how to talk to anyone about anything, the secrets to connecting, I said to myself, you know what? We didn't click. But here's the thing, like Leo and Lila, everyone comes into our life for a reason. So when somebody you perceive is rejecting you, they're in your life to teach you how to hold on to your confidence, and you're in their life to give the power of kindness, which will have an effect with them down the road, even in the moment if you receive it. Okay, so listen. So I walk off the airplane and I say, you know what? We didn't click, but I'm still as lovable and desirable as I was when I walked on the airplane. Because what so many people do is they think, oh, that person wasn't warm back to me. Oh, I'm no good or I'm a loser. And it doesn't make any sense to throw yourself away on a stranger's reaction, because one of the mind messages that we all need to repeat to ourselves every day, mind messages are using the power of thought to radiate connection and confidence, is you have to remind yourself every day, we are all equal and special to everyone else. No one is better or greater than anyone. I don't care how much money you have, what your title is, what you look like. If you think that makes anyone better or greater, then that is something you've been conditioned to believe. Deep down inside, we're all equally lovable. So when you think you're rejected, I walked off that airplane and I said, you know what? He didn't get me in the moment, or he wasn't ready to receive my warmth, or maybe my personality was overwhelming for him. Whatever it is, I'm still lovable and desirable, and this is the best part of all. And he's still lovable and desirable. I wish him well, because when someone does reject you, not only do you not want to give away your power and say you're no good, but you don't want to start going, that jerk, because then you're carrying around this dense, heavy, disconnected, negative energy. You just want to wish them well. Hey, thank you for the lesson. Thank you for teaching me how to hold on to myself. And then you get energy points, which means whatever you put out comes back to you. That's a law of physics. It's a proven that all energy is recycled and comes back. So then you know, hey, I was kind. That'll come back to me, and I wish them well. Then you're free of worrying about it or dwelling on it. Okay, so that happened to me on the flight. I walked up. I said, look, I'm still lovable and desirable, and he's still lovable and desirable. Then what happens is a miracle comes. So a week later, I gave a seminar, and a whole group of women ran up to me, and they said, Jill, we are so excited to come to the seminar because a week ago you sat next to our boss on an airplane and it was that guy. And I said, oh, that's so great, because I wasn't sure that guy really got me or we clicked. And they said, yeah, you know, he came in the office and said you were just too positive and he threw your card in the trash. Wait, but then we all all gathered around the trash can and said, you know what, our boss tends to be so negative and judgmental, he probably, you know, she's probably great. Let's take her card out of the trash and I'll go to her seminar anyway. So that's what happens. It will come back to you. And you know what, I wish that man well, and he'll find the right people to motivate him. So we all encounter each other for a reason.
That's a great story. I just love that.
Oh, thank you. I've got one more fantastic rejection story. Can I tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. One of the things I say in the book is practice never taking rejection personally, because Lila and Leo, it is amazing how it's like, you know, you'll say hi to someone and they might not say hi as friendly back, and then you go home and you think of all the reasons they might be mad at you where it had nothing to do with you. So
right.
It's very important to practice not taking things personally, because you always want to learn your lesson and move on. And I gave a seminar once, and everybody in the room was totally glued and enthralled, except one woman that sat in the middle of the front row and rolled her eyes the whole time. No matter what I said, she just kept rolling her eyes. So then what happens is you lose yourself because you try to win over that one person, and I'm like, let's talk about positive thinking, you know, dancing in front of her, and nothing worked. So she kept rolling her eyes. I said, you know what? Here's what you do, you two. You act as if that person is rooting for you to keep yourself balanced, and I wanted to still give everyone that was focused on me that, you know, that good energy, that present energy. So I did the seminar. It was great, but she rolled her eyes all the way up to the end, and at the very end, she starts walking up to me, and I'm thinking, here it comes. She's going to criticize me. I know it. And she leans in, and she goes, did you hear it? And I said, excuse me? And she said, my stomach, it was growling so loudly the whole time. I was so embarrassed. So it had nothing to do with me, Lila and Leo. It was about her stomach.
Well, I'll tell you the truth.
That's a great story.
That's what we do. We make something up and we make it about us. And
okay, wait. I've got one here.
We're meant
okay.
to learn. We'll learn along the way. We'll learn what we need to work on. But practice not taking things personally. Yes, Leo, what
okay,
do you want
I,
to say?
I, yeah, I have to ask you this, because this actually happened to me a number of years ago. Not that long ago, maybe, you know, well, probably about 6 years ago. And when I first started again, when I first came on the air, somebody had I stopped at a local package store, and a guy stopped his car, came out, got out of his car. I was walking into the store, and the guy stops me. He's a little old guy, and he looked me straight in the eye and says, "You're an idiot." And I said, I just looked at him and said, "What?" He says, "You're an idiot." And I said, "Well, geez, thanks." You know, I guess that's...
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, I didn't know, but I said, why would you say that? He says, "You're that guy on the radio, and you're an idiot."
Oh.
I said, well, well, I said, well, geez, you know, I'm glad you listen. He's still listening. And he goes, "You know, I listen to you. I hate you, but I listen to you." And I said, "Oh, well, that's good." I said, "You know, tell your friends."
and I
just looked at the guy, and then a couple of weeks later, I saw him at a post office. He's a local guy. I saw him at a post office, and he gave me this look like he was looking at a ghost or something. You know, I don't know. I just said hello. I just smiled at him. I said, "Hi, how you doing?" And you know, and he just walked by and shook his head, you know, in disgust. And I never saw. Oh yeah, I saw him again one more time. And he completely and utterly ran to the other side of the room.
Well, I don't know
this guy's name. I never saw him before in my life, you know, but he knew me. And
that is so great. But that's, I say that right in the book, that when someone is attacks, you know, when someone says...
Yeah, you're an idiot. You know?
And that's the best thing to do, is say, what makes you feel that way?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what happened that you feel that way? That's such a great thing. And then I love that you know, when he told you, and this is another great thing in the book, all opinions allowed. Hey, I don't like you on the radio. You said, well, you know, you're allowed to feel that way, you know. And
I think you handled
that so beautifully. And he's probably, you know.
No, well, I think my comeback, actually, my comeback was also, geez, I extended my hand as a handshake. I said, geez, I'm amazed that you're so smart to notice. You know?
Oh, good.
I just threw the guy off.
So my husband, I have a story in this book, and this is in How to Talk to Anyone About Anything. I have 10 ways to transform a difficult conversation. So what you showed in that moment is that you were able to connect with someone even when they were, you know, verbally attacking.
he was.
And my husband and I took a train trip to New York City, and we were seated across a woman we never met.
Mm.
And I said, "Hi, I'm Jill." And my husband said, "I'm Joe." And she said, "I hate men." That was her opening.
Oh.
You know, the seat go, "Excuse me, we're seated next to this awful, bitter, woman, let's move." That's what we sometimes do. We get it, we snap. snap in the moment and we reflect that hostile energy. But when you live connection, you know that everyone comes to their life for a reason, and you become healing to people, just like you were for that guy. So then when
I don't think I healed him. I think I made him more mad.
But you know what? You were very calming for him. That's probably when he saw you again, he was disarmed because you could have attacked back. Well, you're an idiot, but you were calming for him. And in my view, that's very healing for people. They need to be calm, and he got to get his feelings out, and you neutralize them. So when this woman goes, "I hate men," we go, "Do you? What happened?" And just the fact that we ask, she looks so excited because people are dying for empathy and to be listened to. And then she goes, "Well, my dad ran out on us when we were 5, and every guy I dated cheated on me." So we said, "Oh my gosh, you've had such a hard journey." And she just looks so relieved we validated her feelings. And then we said, it's so inspiring that with everything you've been through."
That's not the end. I'm going to turn it over. And hang on 1 second.
That's a great way to handle people. And I know your story was comical and you got a kick out of it, and I love you for that. But I love, there are so many deep things that happen in that moment. And
but how do you know this?
Very layered that way. I like to look for the deeper meaning.
Can I just add it? How do you know this woman wasn't a serial murderer?
Because you have an extreme amount of intuition, all of us
do. Okay, so if she says, "I hate men," first thing, you know, you might want to think she's got problems. I really wouldn't want to pursue, personally.
I can understand that. At the same time, you know, everyone carries an energy with them, and mm-hmm. through their facial expressions, what they're going through. And when I was seated across from her, I could just feel she was a wounded person and not a dangerous person. I've been around people where I felt there was a danger factor, and I would get out of that space. But I could feel intuitively that this was a wounded woman. And I've been around people like that, I've been around people who just freshly got out of a relationship, and you're like, "How are you today?" And they'll be like, "Boyfriend stinks." I mean, some people are carrying around so much pain that you might just say, "How are you?" And they lash out. And I have a section of the book about that, how to handle passive-aggressive people. So the answer to that, Leo, is I could feel intuitively and strongly she was not dangerous and she just needed healing. But I do agree with you. When your intuition tells you that this person doesn't feel safe to me, whatever signals I'm feeling, I say, remove yourself, get out of that space.
What I like about your style is you give people a hand up. You don't push them further down.
Oh,
and you
thank
give them
you,
the opportunity.
I really believe we're all here to elevate each other,
mm-hmm.
to make the world a better place, and to look for the reasons, look for how we're all connected. And if somebody bothers you, see them as an extension of yourself. That helps you connect. Like in the book, I tell a story about a woman that came to my seminar, and I always say, see, everyone is an extension of yourself. Think about why anyone is coming to your path. What are you meant to teach? What are you meant to learn from them? And one woman told this story that every time she went through her favorite drive-through food place, the woman who worked there would make comments like, "Oh, look, it looks like you went swimming today with your kids." And the woman who was driving through would think, "Oh, she's so nosy." But after the seminar, she realized, this woman is teaching me how to be patient, and I'm going to think about times that I've been interested in other people and ask questions. So when she went through again, the woman said, "Oh, look, you got plants." And she said, "Yes, my kids love the garden." And she said, "Oh, you just seem like you're such a nice family." And she said, "Thank you so much." And she said, "I just drove away feeling more connected to her, better about myself." I mean, this is very stress relieving, because when you judge people, not only can you not connect with them, but it's stressful to live that way. When you look open-mindedly to people, that we're all connected, we can all learn and teach from each other and grow, then you just have such more energy in life and things become very magical. You start to see why everyone's put in your path for a reason.
You have something on your book that's on the back, and it says, how to engage people with mind messages.
Yes, mind messages are using the thought, the power of thought, to connect with people. So I'm going to teach you the mindset of instant connection. This is in the first chapter of the book, and this is how anyone in the world can be that person that walks into a room and radiates that special something that says to everyone, people see that person, they think, "I feel good about them, I want to talk to them, oh my gosh, they make me feel so comfortable immediately." So here's how we all do it and still maintain our beautiful personalities, whether we're shy, outgoing, whatever. The first thing you do, again, I said this earlier, send yourself mind messages of warmth and confidence. So remind yourself what your natural personality gifts are so that they become magnified. The second thing you do is you imagine connecting with everyone and you make that your mission. This is an art form. Top athletes use before Michael Jordan scored every time he saw the ball go through the hoop. So before you get through the party, imagine connecting with everyone, make it your mission to connect, and then you walk in so excited to give to people versus shrinking inward because you're going, what does everyone think of me? You don't have time to judge yourself that way. You know people will think what you think you are, and you know you're outgoing and encouraging and friendly. You put that out there, people pick up on it. Now here's the magical part, another really magical part, Lila, with the mind messages. The moment you walk in the room, send everyone compliments with your mind. So even though you haven't spoken to everyone yet, the minute you see someone, you think with your mind, oh, I love your sharp suit. You see a woman, you think, oh, what a great smile. You see a guy, you think, oh, those are such fantastic glasses. And when you send people compliments with your mind, they immediately feel a warm energy. They see your whole face light up, and they want to talk to you. And that's the myth that I was so excited to dispel. See, now we've come full circle, and this is what I want to tell you in the beginning. This is another thing why the book is flying off the shelves and it's so popular. Everyone's like, what do I do about body language? Do I stand up straight? Do I move my shoulders? Do I? You don't even worry about that, because when you get the mindset of connection, everything falls into place. All your body language, your energy, your facial expressions, they all fall into place, because if you're thinking, you're so excited to talk to the person across the room because you're looking at them and thinking what you're enjoying about them, your face lights up and your whole body and everything reflects it. So I'm saying to people, don't worry about being perfect from the outside. When you get it from the inside, everything falls into place, and it's just so exciting.
Well, I think you have wonderful messages here that can help anybody have a better day.
Oh, Lila, thank you. I'm just so excited to spread this mission. It really does change lives. So, again, I want to remind everyone, this is Jill Spiegel. The book is Jill Spiegel's How to Talk to Anyone About Anything, The Secrets to Connecting. You can read it in one night, and it's life-changing, and it's fantastic for young people also who are right now are struggling with their self-esteem mm-hmm. or think shyness isn't good enough. And it's also great for salespeople and just anyone that wants to feel energized and connected. So it's sold out of stores so fast. So if you go to the store, just connect with the clerk. Tell them you're ordering the book, and they will order it for you. You can get it on Amazon.com. It's on sale, and it's one of the top communication books. And you can also order it from my website. If you go to JillSpiegel.com, we have PayPal, and then I can sign the book for you, and you can check out my other great motivational books and CDs. And I also give seminars, so you can read all about that. And I just was so excited today to talk to you, Leo and Lila. I love your passion, and I really appreciate the exposure.
And we're really grateful that to have such a positive person on our show, and you've inspired us. And I think when others read your book, they'll feel as inspired as I did when I read it today.
Oh, thank you. Big hugs to both of you. I already have separation anxiety saying goodbye.
I'm
dying myself. Thank you so much, sweetheart.
Okay, Leo, no matter what you think about me, I still love you.
I love you. What?
No, he thinks you're great.
I think you're funny. I love it.
He enjoys you very much. He said, boy, she has more energy just in her voice than I ever had in my body.
Oh, my gosh, Leo.
I didn't say that.
Leo, no more cup of coffee for you. You and I are just going to hang out.
Okay.
Hey, thank you. I love you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
She's very energetic. Oh, my goodness. And
Say that about her.
Well, you were looking that way. Sorry.
Oh, I was laughing through the whole thing because I thought she was...
You found her very amusing.
I thought she was funny. I really did.
She has some great ideas. But what she has to say is very meaningful. I mean,
I got the big kick out of
her.
Okay. So that's the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. You can check out JillSpiegel.com. It was a lot of fun. And also Kevin Cici, the attorney. And I want to thank everybody. Join us tomorrow at same time, same place, 8 o'clock. And... have a good evening. Good night.